Hey everyone, welcome to a new episode of Midweek Rise Up. I know that it's been a minute since we've actually released a Midweek Rise Up Wednesday episode, since a lot of our episodes lately have been the Monday meditation episodes, which have been incredible. And if you haven't already had a chance to listen to our Monday meditation for this week, the word is sovereign. And I highly, highly recommend that you listen to those because they're super short episodes and they're really there to just get your heart postured for whatever God has in store for you throughout the days ahead. And within these episodes, it's just literally getting drenched with the word and hearing different verses that really just give your heart some peace. And also, I just want to say thank you to those of you who are a part of Bible in 365 and Proclaim Streetwear. And those of you who purchase from Proclaim Streetwear, I cannot thank you enough, because with your purchases, you are able to support Bible in 365, because those proceeds go back to the ministry to keep it free. And it's just really special to have you all on this journey with us. But today we're going to be focusing on the topic of burnout. Burnout is a real thing. The irony in all of this is that I have been continuously putting off recording this episode, essentially to avoid burnout with everything that's going on in my life. But what I've come to realize is that people might warn you of burnout. They might give you a heads up or try to share from their experience, even as a business owner, like, hey, maybe you need to slow down a little, or just give you a forewarning. But in all honesty, you don't get the depths of burnout until you actually feel the depths of burnout. And I know that if you've experienced this before, that sentence makes so much sense. And as Christians, we sometimes commingle burnout with quote-unquote compassion fatigue. We might be striving so hard because we think that's, you know, what we have to do. It's our calling, right? We have to strive. We have to run the race to the point of exhaustion. You got to keep going. You have to keep up. You have to swipe. You have to double tap. You have to engage on social. You have to sleep when you're dead, like all of these things. But then when we push and we push and we push to where our functional calling becomes apathy, and then our apathy bleeds into our primary calling of spreading the gospel and creates an exhausted posture of indifference. And I think it's something that as a Christian, or honestly, even if you're not even Christian, if you have a servant's heart or you strive to people please, regardless, we have a tendency to say yes to everything and everyone, especially if you're a woman, and we're in a perpetual rat race of exhaustion. And I saw and experienced this in full Technicolor when I lived in New York City. I remember having a friend say, I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. And we just go without a break, and we drug ourselves with caffeine, but just to stay awake and just to keep pushing through. But burnout is a real thing, and some people, you know, it might take them a year to recover, maybe multiple years to recover. For others, it might just take a quick weekend. It all depends on the posture of your heart and the foundation of which you're operating from. Are you striving and burning out to please man or please God? Because God doesn't require you to strive. He doesn't keep track of your to-do list. Being busy doesn't translate to being more holy. It is biblical to rest. And in fact, we're commanded to rest and honor the Sabbath, which is something that I think many Christians these days, we overlook. And it's commandment for a reason. It's there to protect you. But yet, to some extent, burnout has turned into a badge of honor. The late nights, the continuous all-nighters, maybe in college. And for what? What prideful trophy do you get from it all? Preventing and coping with burnout becomes a project of spiritual renewal and revitalization. So within this episode today, I not only want to break down some ways to avoid burnout, but I also want to take some time today to dive into the Word with you and be able to see what the Bible says about the burnout we find ourselves slaves to today. So let's jump into the good news. When I was praying over this topic, a character in the Bible that came to mind was Elijah. And this is mostly because when I was first preparing this podcast, we were in the middle of reading 1 Kings and Bible in 365. But in 1 Kings 18, it talks about how Elijah was on fire for the Lord and he won a great victory for God's cause in the world. Then one chapter later, literally just 46 verses later in 1 Kings chapter 19, Elijah was huddled up under a broom tree, feeling sorry for himself, totally exhausted, incredibly burnt out, and his mind was just shot. He went from being fired up to being burnt out so quickly. And the problem wasn't that he wasn't courageous. He had a ton of courage, and you can read that throughout scripture. He was one of the most dominant figures in the Old Testament. But someone got into his head at a very vulnerable part in his journey. and that was Jezebel, the evil queen in the area, had sent him a message that totally made Elijah start to spiral. And I don't know about you, but that's happened to me before, where you're going about your day and you're just going and going and going, you're crushing it. And all of a sudden you're starting to get a little exhausted and you keep pushing through. And then you get a text message from someone that says one thing, or an email, and you just lose it. You're done. You're mentally off course. You're physically exhausted. You're just over it all, which is completely relatable. But let's read these verses where it hits Elijah's breaking point so we can learn from this. In 1 Kings chapter 19, verses 1 through 4, it says, "Now Ahab told Jezebel everything that Elijah had done, and how he had killed all the prophets with the sword. So Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah to say, 'May the gods deal with me, be it ever so severely, if by this time tomorrow I do not make your life like that of one of them.' And Elijah was afraid, and he ran for his life. And when he came to Beersheba in Judah, he left his servant there. And while he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness, he came to a broom bush, sat down under it, and prayed that he might die. 'I have had enough, Lord,' he said. 'Take my life. I am no better than my ancestors.'" And that was the breaking point. Where this Elijah syndrome comes into play is that he had battled so long and so hard that he thought the victory had already been won, that this was all behind him. He was mentally and physically exhausted. Our mind is so powerful. We're told to renew it each day, not to conform to this world, but renew our minds. But what we have to remember is with our mind, so goes our body. Our mind influences what happens to our bodies. And a perfect example of this that I can think of, and if you were an athlete or are an athlete, you'll get this analogy and example. I'll never forget my final game of my senior year playing basketball in high school before I go to college to play. It's the fourth quarter. You're exhausted. There's no timeouts left. But at the same time, I'll never forget looking up in the stands and seeing my mom and my dad and thinking to myself, you know what? This is my last game. This is my last game, not only of the season, but of my high school career before I go to play in college. And you just leave it all out on the court. And you can be physically tired, but then there's something that just clicks in your head that reframes your mindset. And suddenly, you're not as tired. You can pull through for those remaining few minutes or few seconds because you see the end in sight. But for Elijah, his emotional capacity was totally spent. He now was fearful instead of courageous. He was paranoid. And when you're paranoid, you don't think straight. You sometimes even overreact when you're paranoid. He was frustrated. He was wallowing in self-pity. He was in such a deep state of burnout that he was seeing things how he wanted to see them instead of how they really were at the time. And when you're mentally exhausted like this, I think a lot of you know what I mean when I say this, it's a very dangerous position to be in because personally, financially, with your friends, with your family, nothing good comes out of the stress and the strain of mental burnout. But then if you read a little bit further in this chapter, what's next? What does he do? He rests. Super simple, right? Literally under this broom tree or this broom bush, God is like, you know what? Elijah, it's time to sleep. And he was in such a deep sleep for rest that an angel had to wake him up to eat twice. Good sleep, good food, rest, renewal, rededication. And it further says in 1 Kings chapter 19, verses 7 through 8, the angel of the Lord came back a second time and touched him and said, "Get up and eat, for the journey is too much for you." So he got up and he ate and drank. Strengthened by that food, he traveled 40 days, 40 nights, until he reached the mountain of God. There he went into a cave and spent the night. So obviously, some of us can't take 40 days off of life. You just can't. But even Jesus was exhausted and needed rest. It says in John chapter 4, verse 6, Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. But something we need to learn from Christ in moments like this that we and even Elijah had is that Jesus possessed incredible power, incredible strength, and even certainty in circumstances that were extremely trying. And it's because he never lost himself. He was so secure in his purpose. He was so in tune with God and never lost focus on the mission, his ultimate purpose. Yeah, life is crazy. Life is always pulling us in multiple different directions, and it always will. People are constantly going to demand you for your time. And ironically enough, time is one of the most precious currencies in the world today that's not renewable. You have to be intentional with your time. We get impatient, we get frustrated trying to fit it all in and to make it all work. But then there comes a point where literally Jesus says to us, just how he said in Mark chapter 6, verse 31, "Come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest. But one of the more interesting parts of the story of Elijah with being burnout is that after he ate and after he was well rested and he walked for 40 days and 40 nights all the way to the mountain of God, when he got there, he crawled into a cave and then again went to sleep. Then the word of God came to him. He said, "So Elijah, what are you doing here?" And it took Elijah 40 days to get this burnout out of his system, to be in a position to wait on the Lord and to recommit his focus to God. And as Elijah stood on the mountain at attention before God, waiting for him to pass by, there was a hurricane wind that ripped through, there was an earthquake, and there was a fire. None of those were God passing by. But after the fire, there was a gentle and a quiet whisper. That was God. How humbling is that? He's not passing by with the hurricane wind. He's not passing by with the fire or the grand earthquake. He's passing by with a gentle and quiet whisper. He knew the condition of Elijah. He knew that in that moment he was more fragile than normal. Then the word of God came to him. "So Elijah, now tell me, what are you doing here?" And after Elijah repeated his same plea, God said to him, "Go back the way you came. There are so many great things ahead for you to do, Elijah." God's word and promise reignited him. Just how God's word and promise is to reignite us in moments like this. The people of this world will drain us. That is a fact. Their words are only as powerful as we allow them to be. But let me ask you this. Are there moments where you put people's words above God's words? People's promises above God's promises? We have blanketed over us the power of Jesus Christ, and it is through him that we truly come alive. We are made whole and we are healed. We become fire with Christ, not burnt ashes. And we are even told, never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. And I know that sometimes it can be heavy, the weight of the unknown, the weight of worry and loneliness and mental exhaustion. But remember, Jesus has felt these emotions too. But keep in mind, pressure reveals a lot about you and about people around you. Crisis does too. In crisis, Peter denied Jesus and Judas betrayed him. But take hold of this in your heart. Although Jesus felt the weight of the crucifixion on his shoulders, metaphorically and physically, he never burned out. When things are heavy, turn to humility. Take his yoke upon you and learn from him. He is gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your soul. His yoke is easy and his burden is light. And that's a promise. But in these circumstances, be in a prayerful posture to always invite heaven into your situations. So if you're feeling burnout or you're on the verge of being burnout, here's some things aside from reading the Bible, aside from meditating on God's word and being in prayer, aside from resting and eating and crying out to God and getting in lockstep with him, here are some things that you can also do to help prevent this from turning into a cyclical circumstance of burnout. The first thing that comes to mind, and something that I have really been intentional about implementing into my life, is testing my schedule. You have to test your schedule. And for some of you, that means time management. You have to take an assessment of how you're spending your time. Something that I have started doing, which I have now become literally obsessed with, is I have become the queen of time blocking, where I will sit down and either in my planner or on my phone in my calendar app, I will schedule out from 6 a.m. to 7 a.m., I am doing this. From 7 a.m. to 9 a.m., I'm doing this. And I only focus on doing that specific thing during that specific time frame. Another thing that I do, which honestly would probably give a lot of people anxiety, is that I set a countdown timer on my phone of right when I get up in the morning to the time that I'm going to go to bed. So I realize throughout the day, I only have this certain amount of time left to get the rest of this stuff done. Again, I know it's not for everyone, but it's been very helpful for me. Another way to test your schedule or to reclaim your schedule is to start an easier task in the morning. You know, just to have a small victory that just keeps you going. Easy to celebrate a small victory in the morning, but something that's super simple so that you feel like you got that first task done and you can continue to just check off all the boxes on your to-do list. Some people find that the 80-20 rule is helpful, or the Eisenhower matrix, which is also known as the management matrix. But what I have found is that you need to consider your time as money, which essentially means to delegate. you don't and can't and will not, and sometimes will not, maybe sometimes you will, be able to do every single thing. It is biblical to delegate. You can always earn more money, but you can never earn more time. So you have to try the best you can to avoid multitasking, which is extremely hard for women because we're the MVPs of multitasking. But if you know that, again, if you go back to the time blocking thing, if you know from 6 to 7, you're doing this one specific task and you're not going to be interrupted with it, that's super helpful. And that's a way to establish a routine. And two, if you're a business owner, delegating is very, very important. There's a reason why you hired your team. Utilize them. They are there to help you. And when it comes to company meetings, reduce the amount or the length of meetings. They're sometimes not always super productive. If you need to have an all company meeting, make it super intentional, very short action items, and keep moving. And another part with your schedule, if you know how you're going to start your schedule, know how you're going to end it. The end of your day cutoff is very important. Pre-cell phone life, people didn't answer phones past a certain time. Taper the night down at the end of the day. Make it known to people around you that after a certain time, only emergency phone calls or only emergency text messages. I love how on the iPhone you can have the Do Not Disturb setting on your phone, which is super helpful. But the one thing that I had to learn about the end of the day cutoff was that as a mom, when I thought, okay, the baby's now finally asleep, I can get 15,000 things done. I can clean the kitchen. I can do this. I can do that. I can get this email done. I can work on this proposal. I can do all these things on the computer. I realized that I was better off tapering the night down, evolving into the bedtime routine, taking about 5 to 10 minutes to review the tasks and the things I need to do for the next day to get a head start. But then I put my phone down and I end the day. I know this might sound crazy, but I end the day with some housekeeping, not work. Very light housekeeping, like the dishes or finishing folding laundry, something that does not require me to read a screen, and then from there evolve again into the bedtime routine of reading or spending time catching up with my husband and just relaxing on the couch for just a minute. There's something really powerful about finding out where you're wasting time and then being able to restructure that into productivity. For example, I set limits in the morning on how long I do emails because emails can be such a waste of time. You can spend all day going through emails, junk emails, spam emails, emails you have to respond to, emails that you flag, emails that are shopping discounts that you don't want to forget about, even though you're probably not going to use them for another month. You have to make sure that you set a routine for your daily schedule, own your schedule, take audit how you're spending your time, structure it how you want to, and really manage your time. Again, it's so important, and it will really, really help with preventing burnout. Another thing is set your boundaries. So if you're taking notes, I guess this is point number two. Boundaries are powerful. Boundaries are there to protect you from burnout. And in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 14 through 18, Paul was writing a letter to Timothy to encourage him, and he offered strength to help him carry on after Paul's impending death. But Paul was aware that his time was short and that he desired to see Timothy and share with him some insight on how to live through the challenges and the various solutions that we can get out of life, that we can learn from life. And so Paul writes, "Alexander the metalworker did me a great deal of harm. The Lord will repay him for what he has done. You too should be on your guard against him because he strongly opposed our message. At my first defense, no one came to my support, but everyone deserted me. May it not be held against them, but the Lord stood at my side and gave me strength so that through me the message might be fully proclaimed and all the Gentiles might hear it. And I was delivered from the lion's mouth. The Lord will rescue me from every evil attack and will bring me safely to his heavenly kingdom. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen." So any people pleasers in the house? Because not everything is good for your soul. And you can see this within this passage. And even just in life in general, you tend to understand and learn that there are boundaries for a reason. If you feel like people are taking advantage of your yeses to help, take pause. You don't have to respond immediately when someone asks you for something. Give yourself some time to decide and determine what you are willing and what you are not willing to do. This also goes for dating. You can still be a good person with a kind heart and still say no and honor those boundaries, especially if they are physical. For example, if you're dating and you know that he's not the one, don't use your body as a peace offering. Your body might change, but your worth does not. Move on. Stop lingering. If the Lord stands by us, he will strengthen us in difficulties and dangers, and his presence will be more than enough to supply everyone's absence in your life. Do not seek revenge or payback, ever. As it says in Romans, that is the Lord's jurisdiction, not ours. Keep your heart focused on trusting the Lord, not in flawed humans. When a mentor or even you yourself feel urged to set boundaries, view it as a form of encouragement. It's a way to maintain physical, mental, and emotional spiritual boundaries from unhealthy and harmful ways. And even too, when you're setting boundaries for your enemies, pray for your enemies. Yes, you set the boundaries, but pray for them as well. Pray for those who you are setting boundaries with and for. Release from your hands what they might think, give it to God, and move forward. Leave it in God's hands. You have to view this boundary setting as growth. This isn't weakness. And if you decide to keep carrying the weight, well, you'll carry it long enough until you just drop to your knees and are humbled. God has a really special way of doing that. And trust me, that's not a fun process to go through. You have to cast it all to the cross. And once you do, leave it there. Don't try to pick it back up. It's been dropped for a reason. Leave it. And finally, after setting boundaries and purging through your schedule, another way to avoid burnout is finding ways to grow. Grow mentally, grow physically and spiritually, grow every day. You're never too busy. And if you keep telling yourself you're too busy, stop lying to yourself, because you literally probably just wasted 20 minutes scrolling through TikTok or Instagram or whatever else you were doing on your phone. That is the complete antithesis of growth. But remember what I said earlier about your schedule. Time is so precious. Life is all about motion. You have to keep moving forward. Don't be Lot's wife. Don't look backwards. You have to keep moving forward, onward. Don't be stuck in a place for too long, whether that's a breakup, you lose your job. You don't have time for that. You don't have time to be wallowing in self-pity like Elijah. You have to keep moving forward. Keep going on the journey. 40 days, 40 nights. You don't have time to care about what other people think, like Jezebel writing the letter to throw you off. You don't have time to absorb every insult or offense. Hear me when I say this. The only time your head should be down is when you're praying. What you do have time for, though, is you do have time for a new season. You do have time for prayer. You do have time to read your Bible, and you do have time for people that you love. You have time to learn something new every single day. You have time to challenge yourself and put yourself in positions that might make you uncomfortable, but you'll be in a position of growth from it. Sometimes when you know that it'll be uncomfortable, there's some growth with that. There's some tension there for a reason. Try something new. Put yourself in a position of service. There is only one you, and you only have one life. And if you haven't done this in a while, do this now. Put your hand on your chest. Feel your heart beating. You're alive. God needs you on this earth, this crazy, crazy earth, for such a time as this. And my prayer for you is that you're protected from any type of emotional, physical, or mental burnout. My prayer for you is that your mind is completely renewed on all different levels every single day. And I pray that you love so fiercely that you forget you've ever been hurt before. And I pray that you're so filled with joy that emotions don't drive you, and that you carry peace so in trying moments that you can be still and you can hear God's word and God's voice with that gentle whisper. And I pray that you carry kindness so that you can find strength in that and not view kindness as a weakness. I pray that your heart is filled with generosity because you are so blessed to be a blessing to others. And I also pray that with all of that, you can carry gentleness and self-control in your heart, because we live in a very harsh world. So be a rebel, be gentle, have self-control, because that is a true act and power of your will in alignment with God's. Live these out. Renew these every single day so that you can be the man, the woman, the follower of Christ, the friend, the mother, the father, the daughter, son, colleague, wife, husband, whatever your title, that God needs you to be during this time on earth. And for days that might seem tougher than others, or you feel like you're literally on the brink of a total burnout, write these verses down and read them aloud as a constant reminder. I don't even care if you post them in your bathroom mirror, or you leave them on sticky notes all over your car, or you keep them on your phone or by your desk, wherever you'll see them the most. But carry these in your heart with you and declare them over yourself, because this is the truth of who you are in Christ. You are loved, 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. You are forgiven, 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. You are redeemed, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7. You are a new creation, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. You are holy. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 10. You are set apart. Romans chapter 8, verse 30 through 39. You are a temple of the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16 through 17. And finally, you are made with purpose. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. And 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10. Remember, Christ is your rock on which everything else is built upon. Ask God to explore your life. Pray over your schedule. Ask Him to give you wisdom, give you patience and strength to endure the race ahead. And just like we talked about with Elijah, get up, be rested, eat well, take care of yourself, because the journey is too much for you and you need to rest and trust in God, not yourself. Remember to be in the moment of where you're at physically. Be there fully mentally. What you're doing in that moment is important. Get the value that you can out of it. Seek God in it. Even if you feel that it's a mundane moment, let the Spirit guide you and soak out what you can from that exact moment, because you will never have it again. And above all else, trust God. Let go of the pen and let one of the most incredible authors, the author, write your story, write your life, write your love story, because I promise you, it is so worth it. Guard your heart, but keep moving forward. You guys are loved. Go rise up. Thanks for joining us today. I hope that these words encouraged and challenged you and postured your heart for the rest of the week ahead. If you have a minute, go to the subscribe and review section of this podcast and leave us a word or a Bible verse that you've been carrying in your heart throughout the week that really keeps you encouraged and motivated. I want to make this podcast review space that added bookmark for that simple reminder that we're all in this together and that God's got this. Feel free to share this episode with your friends, family, or on social media. And for more information on Proclaim Streetwear and to read the Bible with us in a year at Bible in 365, please click the links below. We're so grateful to have you join us right here every Wednesday on Midweek Rise Up.